How to Fake It in Society by K.J. Charles. Read by Will Watt. Chapter 1. Titus Pilcrow read the note with disbelief. Then he read it a second time in the hope he had misunderstood. It still said the same thing. You're throwing me out.
I am not throwing you out, Mr. Henry Morris said. I am giving you notice that I have found someone who will pay a higher rent for the shop, and it is all of a piece that you should make me the villain for it. Have I not kept the rent absurdly low for years? Am I not entitled to earn my bread as well as you?
How much more? Titus demanded. That is, can I not match it? The words gave him an instant qualm. His rent was not, in fact, low at all, and his work had never been greatly profitable. The raw materials were costly, and though people loved the quality of his products, they were less keen to pay for them.
An extra 3 shillings a week.
A week? If you have not the funds, there's really nothing I can do. Titus wasn't a shouter, and the thought of another argument with Henry made him feel sick, but he would have liked to shout and argue all the same. His throat was closing.
I have paid my rent in full on time for 6 years, and you're giving me a month's notice.
You're supposed to pay your rent on time. It's hardly praiseworthy, Henry said. And if you had not treated me with such unkindness, always casting blame.
The familiar complaints went on, buzzing like blue bottles in Titus's ears as he tried to think. Henry had the right to raise the rent by whatever extortionate sum he chose. He was the landlord, the property owner, and money always flowed in the direction of those who already had it, like streams flowing down to a lake. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Titus's father had often repeated to his 4 younger sons.
But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
His shop was being taken away. This was calamitous. The premises in Red Lion Street, a quite respectable address a little way off bustling Holborn, were small, the bull's-eye windows rather obstructive of light, but they did for Titus's needs. He ran Pilcrow's improved colours, making up his cakes of watercolour paint and his oils, slept in the cramped back room amid sacks and boxes and a clutter of canvases, and tried not to be irritated by the jeweller with his family of 9 who lived upstairs. He spent more of his time wrist-deep in noxious substances than he might have liked, but he found the work satisfying and took pride in his reputation for supplying reliable, well-made colours. He spent untold hours in conversation with artists about shade and permanency, what pigments could not be used together, the minutiae of hard work and technical knowledge that underlaid inspiration and vision. He'd built Pilcrow's into something to be proud of. And now, his shop, his home, his income, his whole little world would be snatched from him because he'd been fool enough to sleep with his landlord. Henry Morris had taken over the management of the property from his father 3 years ago. He was a charming man, witty, lively, a sparkling talker, not perhaps a very good listener, but Titus was used to letting people do all the talking. That suited Henry well, and his attentions had become marked. They'd had a few drinks, Henry had taken him to bed, and it had all been thrillingly far from Titus's quiet routine. It took a couple of months for the cracks to show. The problem was that Henry wanted passion in his life, and any sort of passion would do. Sometimes he would fuck wildly or make extravagant declarations of feeling, but on other days, which became more and more frequent, he was only happy making them both miserable. He would snipe and complain, then throw around accusations, insults, and verbal cruelties that escalated until Titus was finally provoked into protest. And then the onslaught would really begin. There would be tears, screaming, throwing things, breaking things. Afterwards he would weep,